Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So I guess it's 2-3, no? Yeah? So, chapter 3. Shisuka Uvacha.
Shisuka Uvacha.
Evam.
Etam.
Nigaritam.
Nigaritam.
Evam etan nigaritam.
Evam etan nigaritam.
Pristavan.
Pristavan.
Yadbaban
mama.
Pristavan yadbaban mama.
Yadbaban mama.
Nut. Nre. Nre. Nurenam.
Nurenam.
Yan.
Miyamananam.
Miyamananam. Nurinam yan Miyamananam. Manusheshu. Manishinam. Evamita nigaritam pristavan yad bhavan mama. Nurenam yam riyamananam manusheshu manishinam. Sukadeva Goswami said, Maharaj Pariksit, as you have inquired for me as to the duty of the intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. Brahma avarcha sakamastu yajeta brahmanapatim indram indriya kamastu prajapatim. One who desires to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahma Jyoti effulgence should worship the master of the Vedas, Lord Brahma, or Brihaspati. One who desires powerful sex should worship the heavenly king Indra. And one who desires good progeny should worship the great progenitors called the Prajapatis. One who desires good fortune should worship Durga Devi, or the superintendent of the material world. One desiring to be very powerful should worship fire. And one who aspires after money should only worship the Vasus. One should worship the Rudra incarnation of Lord Shiva if he wants to be a great hero. One who wants a large stock of grains should worship Aditi. One who desires a worldly kingdom should worship the Vishvadevas. And one who wants to be popular should worship the Sadhya demigods. One who desires a long span of life should worship demigods known as Ashwini Kumars. And a person desiring a strongly built body should worship the earth. One who desires stabilization in his post should worship the horizon and the earth combined. One who desires to be beautiful should worship the residents of the Gandharva planet. One who desires a good wife should worship the Apsaras and the Urvasi society girls in the heavenly kingdom. One who desires tangible fame should worship the personality of a Godhead. And one who desires a good bank balance should worship a demigod, Varuna. You got me. Seems strange, doesn't it? Hare Krishna, 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 Krishna. Well, actually it says, Koshukama, one who desires a good bank balance, Prachetasam, the treasure of heaven known as Kuvera. The word-by-word translation. So it appears the word-by-word translation is different than the translation. Ah. If one desires to be a greatly learned man, he should worship Lord Shiva. Yeah? And if one desires a good marital relation, he should worship the chaste goddess Uma, the wife of Lord Shiva. Prabhupada's purport. There are different modes of worship for different persons desiring success in different subjects. The conditioned living entity within the purview of the material world cannot be an expert in every type of material enjoyment. But one can have considerable influence over a particular matter by worshipping a particular demigod, as mentioned above. Dharmartha uttamar shlokam tantu tanava pitrin yajet rakshakama punya janam ojas kamo marudganan. And one should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for spiritual advancement of knowledge and for protection of heredity and advancement of the dynasty. One should worship the different demigods. Rajyakamo manum devam. One who desires domination over a kingdom or an empire should worship the Manus. One who desires victory over an enemy, should worship the demons. And one who desires sense gratification should worship the moon. But one who desires nothing, kama kamo gajet somam akama purusham param. But one who desires nothing of material enjoyment should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here it is. Akama sarvakamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, who may be full of all material desire, or may be without any material desire, or who may be desirous of becoming free from desires, by all means should worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavad Gita. So I saw one translation by one impersonalist one time of these verses, and I was wondering how he's going to translate this verse. And he came to me, said the same thing, one who has all material desires, or is free from all material desires, or desires to be free from all material desires, whose broader intelligence should worship the Supreme Lord. That's why he described it. Shankaracharya, he did a commentary on Bhagavad Gita, but he said he knew it would be impossible to give a sane translation of Srimad Bhagavatam that could be taken as impersonal, as brilliant as the sun. And he also knew it would be extremely offensive. So even he didn't want to do that. Even God ordered him to do it. He wasn't going to do it. Yeah. So it's like that. It's so simple. Akama, sarvakama va, moksha kama, udaradi. D means intelligence, right? Udaradi. Tivrena, very fierce. Bhakti yogena, yajna, yajate purusham param. So Sanskrit is so simple. You should worship the Supreme Person, right? Yeah. So he's getting all these opportunities here. All the different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction, unflinchingly fixed upon the personality of Godhead only by association with the pure devotees of the Lord. Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord, Hari, is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to this being free from material attachment, and being transcendental, it is approved by authorities. Who could fail to be attracted? So it's a shorter meter. The meter changes here. Janam yad apratinivritta gunor nichakram atma prasada utayatra guneshva sangha. So it's going slower, faster, and it slows down. Slowing down, yeah? Some comment, right? So almost like maybe Sukadeva Goswami is taking some statement, some aphorism from some different source, and taking that and putting it in like a headline, almost like a headline, right? Then what will happen is after this, he'll amplify on it, So when the meter changes in the flow like that, it may indicate something. There's some reason why the meter is changing like that, So maybe we'll see. Actually, it's just termination. That's a termination of his, it was like a summary in this case, like a summary. Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord Hari is knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of the material modes. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to this being free from material attachment, and being transcendental is approved by authorities. Approved by authorities, yes? So, who could fail to be attracted? Shonaka Uvacha. The son of Vyasadeva, Sukadeva Goswami, was a highly learned sage and was able to describe things in a poetic manner. What did Maharaj Parikshit again inquire from him after hearing all that he said? Shoshonaka is asking, who is he talking to? He said, Sukadeva Goswami is very elevated. He's describing everything to the king. And after that, what did he talk about? Shoshonaka said, who's he asking?
Sutta.
O learned Sutta Goswami, please continue to explain such topics to us because we are all eager to hear them. Besides that, topics which result in discussions of Lord Hari should certainly be discussed in the assembly of devotees. Savai Bhagavato Raja Pandaveyo Maharata. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Sukadeva Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, is also full in transcendental knowledge and a great devotee of Lord Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. So, there must have been discussions of Lord Krishna, who is glorified by great philosophers in the company of devotees. Ayush, right here, Ayush. Yeah. Ayur Haranti. Both by rising and setting, The sun decreases the duration of life of everyone, except when he utilizes the time by discussing the topics of the all-good personality of Godhead. Die. Supreme personality of Hoghead, Lord Brahma. Die. So many pastimes, incarnations. But you can talk about so many times, so many things like that. You know? Somebody who may be a materialist and want to talk to you about material subjects, but you're seeing everything they're saying in a Krishna conscious fashion and responding in a Krishna conscious fashion. What is he actually saying? What does he actually mean? Like that. Again, you can talk about the sun, light of the sun, springtime. It's springtime now, so you can talk all about springtime for several weeks and nobody will think that you're unusual because it's springtime, right? Oh, my backyard, all these dandelions are growing in springtime. They're all yellow like that. All the flowers are going. I was like, yeah, but you're talking about Krishna. Yeah? And that we're purifying everybody. So then we become immortal. You know? Prabhupada says that the specific benediction, nectar instruction, the specific benediction of always talking Krishna Katha is that it puts the speaker beyond the clutches of death. Right? Become immortal. 24 hours a day. Right? Okay? Talking about Krishna. And the nectar of devotion probably defines Krishna as Anyabhilasita Shunyam, Anyabhilasita Shunyam, Gyanakaram Rinavritam, Anukulyena, Krishna Anushilanam, Bhakti Uttama. So, what is Krishna for Krishna? What does Krishna mean? Just Krishna?
Krishna is devotees, his paraphernalia, his abode, his
incarnations. Yeah, Krishna's incarnations, his personal paraphernalia, such as his abode, and his devotees, he expands it like that. Of course, we become more purified, we see Krishna everywhere. Yeah. Stavra Jangamadeki, Nadikitara Morti, Sabrata Hoya Nija, Istadeva Sporti. Ramananda Roy, Salo Chaitanya, finally as a combined form of Radha and Krishna, and he said, "You're Radha and Krishna." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Stavra Jangamadeki." He said, "Actually, a pure devotee, he sees everywhere just his own Istadevata." Yeah. He sees all things moving and non-moving, but really in everything he sees his own worshipable deity. And you're such a great devotee of Radha and Krishna, you see them everywhere. I'm just a Maya body. I'm just a Maya body sannyasi. Is that some problem? Some complaint? I'm not all powerful. Very nice. Yeah. It's okay. We accept complaints. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. So, both rising and setting the sun, except for pure devotees. Now he's going to go a whole example of this. Suta Sonika is going to give all an example of, like, he's clarifying his question. And he's making it very clear what he's talking about. So his point is, there were devotees discussing this thing, so they must have been talking about Krishna. On the opposite side, those who don't talk about Krishna, do not the trees live? Do not the bellows of the blacksmith breathe? All around us, do not the beasts eat and discharge semen? Men who are like dogs, hogs, camels and asses, praise those who never listen to the transcendental pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna, the deliverer from evils. A very famous verse. Okay, let's look at the, where are we going here? The dog. Where's the dog? Oh, yeah. The general mass of people, unless trained systematically for a higher standard of spiritual values, are no better than animals. In this verse, they have been particularly put on the level of dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. Modern university education practically prepares one to acquire a doggish mentality, to accept the service of a greater master. Like the dogs, after finishing his so-called education, the so-called educated persons move door to door with applications for some service and a diploma in their mouth, right? And mostly they are driven away, informed of no vacancy. As a dog is a negligible animal and serves a master faithfully for bits of bread, similarly serves a master without sufficient rewards. Yeah. So you go door to door from, what is it, Microsoft Word to Micron with your diploma in your mouth, scratching at the door. They go away. No vacancy here. Like that. Yeah? Your resume, submit your resume. Yeah. Okay. It's all revealed in these books. Now, I was thinking to actually make a poster up for the university with, you know, dogs, hogs, camels, and asses with universities like that, diplomas. You know, it's kind of heavy. You know? Is the university making an ass out of you? Like that, You know, smoking cigarettes and hogs with wine glasses and dogs with camels with cigarettes, you know. And I guess dog with a diploma in his mouth like that, you know, for hire. Yeah, it's too much. I just distribute to somebody else because it's stupid. I put a different name on it. Christian Crusade for Truth, like that. We never say that. Yeah. Wow. Is it changing? Yeah, the meter's changing again. Billy Bata Rukrama Vikramam J. Yeah, so he's finished off his, you know, criticism of animals. One who has not listened to the message about the prowess and marvelous acts of the personality of Godhead, and has not sung or chanted loudly the worthy songs of the Lord, is considered to possess ear holes like that of a snake, and tongues like those of frogs. The upper portion of the body, though covered with a silk turban, if not bowed down before the personality of Godhead, who can award mukti, freedom, as a heavy burden only, and the hands, though decorated with glittering bangles, if not engaged in the service of the personality of Godhead, are like those in a dead man. The eyes, which do not look at the symbolic representations of the Lord, are like those printed on the plumes of peacocks, and the legs, which do not move to holy places where the Lord is remembered, are considered like the trunks of trees, or don't dance in the Arctic. Jivan chaivo bhagavatan guirenum. The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of a pure devotee of the Lord upon his head certainly is a dead body, and the person who has never experienced the flavor of the tulasi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is a dead body although breathing. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration does not change. When ecstasy takes place and tears fill the eyes and hairs stand on end. So Prabhupada's purport. Very short chapter, it's only 24 verses. Yeah. Yeah. O Sura Goswami, your words are pleasing to our minds. Please therefore explain to us, as it was spoken by the great devotee Sukadeva Goswami, who is very expert in transcendental knowledge, and spoke to Maharaj Pariksit upon being asked. So this chapter is almost like epilogue? He said everything and he's summarizing then. That you can look at all these different aspects of nature. He's pretty much presenting pantheism from the very beginning, right? That's his whole meditation. It's from the very beginning. Meditate on the different limbs of the Bharat Rup. And those, of course, are related to different demigods, different sages, different rishis are, you know, connected to these. In Hamlet, somebody says, there's something rotten in Denmark, right? And then when the ambassador of Norway comes, and the king of Denmark, the evil uncle, says, how fares our cousin Norway? You know, so that they had the same Vedic view. The king was the country. If you gave an insult to the king, that was an insult to the country. Like that, you know, there was and so something rotten in Denmark meant there's something rotten in the body of the king. Like that, it was Hamlet's proposition. So very much so, all these different aspects of the body. You know, the material world, they're connected to different persons, people. They're in charge of all these things. With the Battle of Waterloo, the French guy was in charge of the artillery, and he was telling Napoleon the mud was just too thick. They had to wait for a day until it dried out to move the cannons to it, and the cannons wouldn't make it. So Napoleon's response was, "You are the artillery." So he said, "Yes, sir. Yes, sire." But it was a problem. Yeah. So everything is personal. You know, everything is personal. So here he's talking about this meditation on the Bharat Rup, focus your meditation. And then he talks about going within that by more intensity. This was last week, right? By this, you know, Paramatma. You know, within the Bharat Rup is the Paramatma, the soul of all souls. Yeah? And he keeps going back and forth. And he goes back again and says, you know, anybody who wants these different things, you know, this and that, but you want transcendental knowledge, right? You're asking about, you know, eternal duty. And so it's most essential verse. Two verses here. We're memorizing usually. Akarma, akama, sarvakarma va, moksha kama, udaridi. Bhajate, yeah, bhajate purusham param. Is it yajita? Yajita, bhajate. Yajita, it's the same thing. Huh? Yajita purusha param. And the other one? I don't know the Sanskrit. Svid? Starts with Svid. Huh? Nayat, Nayat. Jatu. Jai. Oh, you got it. Those two are very, very nice, very potent. Oh, they have a called tag team going on. Yeah. Siddha Goswami said, your words are very pleasing. Yeah, please therefore explain to us, as it was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami, who is an expert in transcendental knowledge, to Maharaj Parikrit. So basically, he's finished. He's given him a very nice meditation. And it's the same as given to Arjuna. This is a science. You find the same thing in all the Vedas, all these things. And this pantheism is the first step in God realization. It's a chapter here. Appreciating God in nature. And it's just so natural. You know, people can appreciate that. You go on some... You work so hard in the factory all week or all 2 months on project, they take you out to the country or someplace where there's fresh air and sunlight and have some games and run around and the ability in man, the taste in water, the fragrance of the earth, the light of the sun, you know, always on. It's appreciating all these things, right? You know? So this is the first natural meditation. It's how to engage people. You know? How you go? How's it go? Yari deki tari kaha krishna upadesh. Wherever you meet, wherever you go, that's your responsibility. It's our job. If you really want to do what Krishna wants us to do, become a preacher. Nothing else. Okay, I go to work. That's where I go. Okay, then there your whole job is thinking, how can I get people to raise their consciousness? This is where Krishna has put me. And not where I can talk about Bhagavatam directly, but with these people. What can I talk about? How can I do? What can I do? Well, I got to show the proper example. I got to, you know. Do all these things. How I can go to work and also be Krishna conscious. I'll show them that. You know? So many ways. I'm just trying to do our job. We were in San Francisco in a mortuary temple there when I joined in 1973 or something like that. It's the second story in the back where we used to cut the subjis, where they used to drain the blood out of the bodies. There was a nice drain in the bottom like that. There were ghosts in the building. You know? Anyway, it was an interesting place. So then about 1976... we moved across the bay to Berkeley, where the temple is now, a big building there. And the idea was we'd go there, we'd be right in the middle of the university preaching atmosphere and everything else. So Jayatirtha wrote to Prabhupada, and then Prabhupada wrote back, and he said, you reported that preaching is good in Berkeley. That's because you have made the endeavor there. Wherever you make the endeavor, you will discover preaching is good. You know, so that's the main thing. And again, it may not be, you know, whole kingdom... shaves up and puts on tilak or something else, but no, you discover these people have made progress according to their means, position, and whatever else like that. You know? So wherever you are, it's a science. You know? Again, okay, we were going down the roads in Peru, going over the mountains to our farm on the opposite side, and some little girl was talking to her friend, and she ran right on the road in front of us, like that, in the car. And the body was going a little bit slower because it was like a, you know, like a roadside village area. But she went right in front of us. So he hit the brakes, we hit her, and she went right through the air about 15, 20 feet through the air like that, right? So what do? You're in the passenger seat. That's where I was. What do you do?
Huh? You run out inside.
First mistake, you're dead. What's the first rule of first aid? Huh?
Call out to Krishna.
Oh, well, okay. And after that. That's cheating. Huh? No, you're dead. You open the door, a car was coming, you're dead too. Yeah.
Behind you?
It almost happened to me too. It almost happened. First thing, first rule of first aid is make sure that you're not in danger from this, but at least from the same problem, from other things. So I should have like stopped, looked out first like that. You know, but I didn't. I almost got hit myself. You know, guy pulled aside. Okay, second rule. Now you're alive, you're running towards a little girl. Then what do you do? She's going to die.
you tell someone to call the ambulance.
No. Nobody knows. You learn these
first
things.
Day.
Huh?
Huh?
No, breathing is second. Breathing is first. First off, make sure you're not in danger. This is very important. Make sure that you're not in danger. The same because you're dead or something else. Like I can't do anything, you know. Okay. Second thing is check for bleeding. because you can bleed to death faster than you can suffocate. If your hand is cut off, the wrist is cut off, you'll bleed to death and the blood will just come out. You'll be dead within a matter of one minute, the most. Which you can go 3 minutes without air with no problem whatsoever. So there was no bleeding, bad bleeding, anything else, you know. So I checked, and then was next for breathing. She wasn't breathing. And so I then, you know, was there to her, and she coughed right away, like that, you know. But it took that, you know, the impulse to get her going like that. And then after she started breathing and then different things like that, you know. Then we got her in the van, we're driving, you know, to the next hospital. People came running out, this and that, and saying, oh, there's a hospital here and there, and she was awake, and she was crying to her mother because her cheek was scratched. So she's on my lap. And then she started to fall asleep. Is that good? No, because with shock, if you go to sleep in a position like that, you can actually just, you know, die and stuff. So I kept, you know, chanting and everything else like that and so on, you know. So this is first aid, you know. Then after you get to the hospital, then, you know, get a paramedic. He has more ability, different clamps and stuff like that. He put a tourniquet on the arm and this and that, but it's not going to, you know, it's not very good because hand's going to die, you know. But he can maybe do enough surgery just to fix the vein like that, you know. So there's, you know, different levels of knowledge, you know. So the more we understand these things, the more we can just, you know, deliver people from the hypnotism of the witch. Or as the Christians say, from the fiend, you know, the devil, Durga. It's all right. It's all her job, you know, thankless job. But it's a fact. People are moving under this external energy for all of these purposes, and we can save them, you know, get them out of this consciousness. So what's the first thing? What's the first level of God realization? No, God realization. Well, I guess that's two. Okay, and after that? Okay, good point. Sing. Okay, save yourself. Then what's next? Yeah. Pantheism. Yeah, at least people are conscious of the world around them, you know, as transcendental, eternal, like that. You know, sat, like that. And so what are some examples of the incarnations of Krishna? This is exactly Arjuna's question in the 10th chapter. This is why Krishna talks about pantheism. You know, what is Arjuna's question there in the 10th chapter? He says, you talk about so many things, but...
How can we appreciate you, see you?
Yeah, how can an ordinary person like myself, caught up in all these activities, appreciate you like that? Yeah? Yeah? And Queen Kunti, you know, she says, I was going to go Parma, you know, Paramahamsanam, something. Huh? Tata Paramahamsanam, Muninam Amalatmanam, Bhakti Yoga, Yaka Yoga, Vidhanartam, Katam Pashyama, He's Tadeha. I'm just an ordinary, less intelligent lady, Prabhu. You know, she's not. You know? So, how can the great Paramahamsas, they can know you by meditation, these things, but how can we ordinary people? Ladies caught up in politics, you know, and our community and different things like that. How can we understand you? Yeah. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nandagopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. You become my nephew. You become a beautiful little cowherd boy, you know. I've seen so many times, if a beautiful girl comes in a sari now, very, very chaste and shy, you know, will you look at her? Not me, probably. Every man in the room with this, she comes in, her ankle bells tinkle, everybody will like look like that. And the intelligence will say, hey, what, like George Harrison, watch out, back off. Like, oh my God. So every man has an automatic response. But if a very cute little baby comes in smiling, all the women just like lose their intelligence. You know, they can. It's the same thing. You know, you start talking to each other, you know. But this is natural. You know, men are attracted to beautiful women. Women are attracted to beautiful babies, and the world goes on like that. You know, so it's natural. Prabhupada said this is natural. He said, but then we control our mind and stuff. You know, and they said that's intelligence. Yeah, you know? Yeah. So we understand it's in proper proportion. It's okay. It's very nice. It's very practical. But when the ignorance and passion start to come in, you know, what was it Kapila? I think Kapila compares, says how the woman. That a woman should think of the sweet sound of her baby's voice as? Huh? Yeah, like the hunter plays his flute very nicely. And the deer is very attracted to this. So she's coming. And it gets close enough, one very nice sharp arrow right through her heart. So said the mother should hear this beautiful calling of her child, or mommy, mommy, Jagannath, Jagannath. Okay, that's transcendental. Yeah. But other things, she should think, oh, this is death calling me, like that. Become involved in this bodily thing like that. So is everybody, it's in the proper proportion, it's Krishna's arrangement. But when we start to be influenced by passion, your desire for my motives, my reasons, my ideas, and ignorance just to act upon them, then we're trapped, we're confused. You're not seeing it properly for what, for the transcendental use. Now we're seeing it for our own egotistic, use like that. And Krishna will always warn us, if we're sincere, hey, watch out, you're becoming overly attached to you're becoming materially attached to your children. You're becoming egoistically attached. You're becoming attached for selfish, reasons. I want my children to go to school, get good education, so when they become doctors, lawyers, engineers, do austerities, like that. So when I'm old, they can take care of me, right? I have a good house, and nice position in society, like that. They can become whatever they want to do, as long as they serve Krishna, right? So this is karma, karmi, and the karma yogini, right? Not a vikarmini. Vikarmini is something else. Karmini is, let me get my fruits. I deserve this. I worked hard, I educated them, and now I have a nice, comfortable, my mature years, very comfortable. It's just, yeah. But then above that karma yogini, sacrificing the results of your work to Krishna. And above that, bhakti yogini. Yeah. Let them all go to hell. Chant Hare Krishna. We had for Janmashtami one year, we had these trampolines, the kids jumping up and down, and they have like these big nets around them like that. That would be half the size of this room. We rented one. So Janmashtami program was just inside the karate studio, a big place, glass doors. And this outside in the parking lot, we had this jumping thing, and kind of just tossing the kids in there and closing the door like that. And they would like bounce up and down for some time. They would kind of want out, but then they kind of get tossed back in with the bouncing activity, and finally after some time. But it was, they were all, engaged like that, and peaceful, practical, And so every some point it's kind of like that. It's just, the brahmanas, right? They were very attached to all the ritualistic sacrifices, and their wives went off and, sacrificed everything, disobeyed their husbands to give food to Krishna. And they came back full of transcendental emotional ecstasy, right? And their husbands are looking at him, what do they say? Right? I love this. To hell with Vedic sacrifices. To hell with being masters of Vedic knowledge. To hell with being Brahmins. To hell with everything. For we have not obtained love for Krishna, whereas these simple ladies have achieved this. It's the whole science. Why things happen a certain way like that. So this is the first level he's teaching us here in these first three chapters, really focusing on this lesson, this pantheistic explanation. And if you read these things, you can then appreciate them more and more. We're not opposed to appreciating the material world. If your consciousness is flowing in that direction and stuff, okay, it's very natural. Appreciate springtime. Appreciate the taste of water, the fragrance of the earth, the light of the sun, the ability in man. And as you're more developed, belong to a higher society. For example, right now I'm reading Carl Jung, who's like unusual person in the Kali Yuga, because he actually could appreciate devatas in some degrees like that, and those different cultures and how they related, and the ideas and how they were functioning. And so he's an unusual person, who couldn't appreciate this level. But yes, that's a little higher level. So in the beginning he's saying, if you want this, if you want that, if you want this, if you want that, if you want this, if you want that, worship Uma, worship the demigods, worship the Vasus, worship Kuvera. But somebody who has broader intelligence, should worship the Supreme Lord, like that, Paramapurusha, Bhagavan. Yeah? And then Sudha Goswami asks more questions, Shonaka asks more questions, and he's saying that the essence of all these things is Harikata. Harikata. And it occurs where? When does it occur? Huh? Yeah? And what kind of devotees do we have here? Yeah, Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Pariksit, so he glorifies them too in their qualities. Therefore, he said, we're going to hear wonderful things. And back and forth. That's the one side, Krishna Katha, the association of devotees, but on the opposite side is those who never hear about Krishna, those whose eyes are like peacock feathers, whose ears are like snake holes, whose breathing is like a bellows, whose legs are like tree trunks, right? They all appear to be alive. They're dead. They're dead bodies, right? Yeah? One black musician, he said, if a man doesn't have a wrinkle, if a guy has his overcoat, it's not wrinkled, he doesn't have any soul. Yeah, other cultures you appreciate different things, like that. So it's modern world. It's like dead bodies, you know? People make these drawings and stuff. Was it Keinholz? He was some time ago was making these sculptures of typical scenes, like an office or the evening in the house or a couple in an automobile. And this was with the radio playing or something. But it was just like everything was there, but there's nobody moving, you know? Sometimes he go for walks. Mithagoras Sundari goes for a walk every evening. The psychiatrist has his route around the upper class, income area. So walking around, there's no people. There's all these houses, but there's nobody. Some dogs come out in the route like that. They know them, and they say hello, hello, and stuff like that, you know? But you're looking, you can't see anybody. There's just no people, yeah? And then there's you can see, you hear some television playing in the window, some lights in there. This is exactly the kind of sculpture this guy had. The television was playing, but there was people sitting there your hair well combed, nice high combed hair and everything else like that, Or you go to your office, Hewlett Packard, Micron, whatever, Safeway, and everybody's doing their work, drink some more coffee, become too agitated, smoke a cigarette, And you go on with almost no intelligence. A little intelligence is required. But if you actually become intelligent about what you're doing, you just kill yourself. This is completely insane. Yeah, has no meaning whatsoever. What is the majority of internet transfer? Always you're working all these microchips and everything else and there's software and everything else. But what is the majority, the bulk of internet transfer? What are you supporting? Pornography, and maybe some gambling. It's going to be competition like that. So what does that make you? What do you call that profession? George Bernard Shaw said it's a difference of degree, not a difference of content. So because I was thinking about this, is insane. I'm all this work for high speed transfers so that crazy insane people can see dirty pictures faster, or lose their money. And you wake up in the morning and tell your wife you still lost the car, the house, and everything else last night on the internet, $25,000 credit card bill, on the internet. Yeah, but he was a whole complicated situation. He knew he had this weakness, but because his superiors were asking him to do it, that was dharma. I will never disobey my uncle. He's my superior. So if he wants me to do this, I'll do it. Even though I know my weakness, I'll be carried away by this. And then in the Peter Brooks movie, after they lose everything, and then Draupadi, he gives everything back to Draupadi. They're walking away. At least they have their clothes back on and their weapons. They're walking away, And then a messenger comes out and says, the king wants you to come back and play one last throw of dice just to show it's all friendly, like that. And so Yudhishthira thinks for a second, and he says, okay, we'll go back. And then Bhima, this big, big black guy, he says, man, you crazy? Just like that. That's why I like the movie, because it really gets across this impetuous, friendly. You're like, you nuts? You already lost everything. Are you crazy? And then Yudhishthira says, Duryodhana doesn't know, but for whomever Shakuni plays, that person dies and wins. For whomever Shakuni plays and wins, that person dies. So we have to give him one more chance to save his life. Yeah, so very deep his motivation. He went back and played, not because he was addicted, because he wanted to give Duryodhana one more chance to lose and save his life. Yeah. Very sophisticated. Yeah. But here's the basic principle, and it's very nicely explained, and good contrast. Yeah. You have to hear these things always. It's not a matter just of our memory is only so big, right? Like that. Really, it's a matter of conditioning the psyche at a more subtle level. You got to take these things in, these stories into your heart, like that. Some things, like some story or something, you can't forget it. It goes so deeply into your consciousness, into your booty. It's not just being stored in your brain. It's just way down there where it'll last for lifetimes if you get it deep down there. and get it deep enough, it'll be eternal. You know, you'll wake up and then you'll see everything in terms of Srimad Bhagavatam, every situation like that. Yeah? So here is, you know, repeating them over and over again. I always tell the story, Prabhupada was invited to give a Bhagavad Gita lecture, commentary. And they had a conference on Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita in the modern world. And it was Swami Chidmayananda and so many people there, like that, different people. Maya bodies, everything else. And so they had their conference for 3 days. And the third day, Prabhupada was supposed to come at the end. And the Hari Soi was with Prabhupada. And they went there. It was out in the country someplace, some kind of like convention center, ashram. And many people were actually staying there and others were coming. So they arrived about, like, I guess 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock. And Prabhupada was supposed to talk at 2 o'clock. So as soon as he came there, all the people stood up like that and received him and Swamiji. And he said, you want to go into the assembly area right now, or is there a room where you can sit and wait until your presentation? So Prabhupada said, let me wait. So he took him to some room there. And there was a room right next to the main auditorium. So Hari Soi sat down and he said, Prabhupada started walking back and forth. And he said, these people know nothing about Bhagavad Gita. They are simply confusing people. The greatest book in the world, the light of the age, and they are distorting it. You know, they are the greatest cheaters. You know, it's like that. He's even naming people like, he says this, he says that. You know? He went back and forth, back and forth. And Hari Soi could tell he wasn't really talking to him. He was just like, he was fixing his intelligence. He was bringing up different memories, putting them on the table, you know, sharpening his weapons like that. He had his arrows in place, you know. And this guy, that guy, and this guy, you know. And so he was going back and forth. He was becoming more and more irritated, you know, angry. You know, so Hari Soi was watching this. He was becoming more and more like, you know, just nervous because Prabhupada was so like just, you know, charged up and alert and ready and everything else. And it was just like, you know. And so finally they opened the door, and he said it was like in the bull ring, and the bull comes in. It was like he was going in right in behind Prabhupada with his head kind of down like that. Oh my God, you know, it's like that. So Prabhupada came in the same way, and all these people are there. And he just go, they're supposed to introduce him. He just go right up to the microphone and started like, you know, preaching, you know. And Hari Soi said it was so intense, it was so like, you know, potent that it took them about like, you know, 2 minutes before anybody could react or something. Or it was just kind of even shocked. Even it was almost like mentioning names almost. And people were just like sort of shocked at everything, you know. Then he said one Bengali lady, she's about 35 years old. And a professor, and she said, you're simply trying to glorify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he probably said, I never mentioned Mahaprabhu. Sit down and shut up. So she it was like, you know, yeah, it was just like, you know, her father, you know, just like her father chastising her or something like that. And it was, you know, it was like that. So it was like, you know, wow, you know, my intelligence is useless at this point. You know, this guy knows, you know. So she was quiet. Then other people started screaming and yelling, and some people were like, you know, opposing Prabhupada, and some people were supporting him and saying, yes, yes, he's true. This is right. What he's saying is true. We're making this mistake and this and that. We shouldn't twist the Gita. We should take it as it is and so on like that. You know? And they started arguing amongst each other, and Prabhupada was arguing everybody else. And Hari Soi said after about 5-10 minutes, and Prabhupada started like slow everything down and straighten everything out. And finally, by the end of the 15 minutes, everybody was laughing with everybody else and talking and friendly and so on like that. You know? But he said it was many times. It was this wonder example of how intelligent Prabhupada was, Udaradi, his ability to, you know, to understand everything, get everybody involved properly, and give them an experience that really touched their heart. You know, made them think about things, even his enemies. You know, came out of it like, wow, there's no one like Swamiji, you know, like that. You know? So same way, reading these things, you know, recitation over and over again, putting them on cassette tapes, listening to them, making a community, having dramas, focusing. And again, the whole nobody can take everything the spiritual master is offering, right? It's just too much, you know. So you take something, you know, you build your own logic so you can deal with any situation pretty much like that. Yeah, you know? And then after that, they're experts. You know, we can do any, Prabhupada says, know a little bit about everything and a lot about one thing. Okay, so you know enough to get the person in a stable position, to get him to the hospital, you know, enough to get him through the night with no problem. The next day, a full doctor has to do an examination, and then after he's a little more stable, you're going to have to go to San Francisco from Boise to have some very serious orthopedic surgery, because we can't do it here. There's just nobody qualified in specialized operating theater. Yeah, so same way, you meet people, you know. One time there was a PhD in physics in Spain, and devotees didn't know what to do with him. They had him washing pots and stuff, you know. And he had so many questions. Yeah. And devotees said they couldn't answer them, you know. Basically, but he was a sincere person and realizing, well, since he basically seems okay, but there are many very serious questions here I have like that in terms of committing myself more. And they said, well, don't worry, there's one of our scientists coming. You know, he's specializing in these things. I'm specializing in farming, you know, and something like that, and music, you know. Named Sariputta. So Bhakti Sriranga Maharaj told me this. So he was there then. So then Sariputta landed in Madrid like about, you know, 9 o'clock at night. They took him into the farm, which is about like 10 o'clock at night. He got to bed. So the next morning, he knew also, they told him this guy is here, he has a PhD in this and that, and so on, these questions. So Bhakti Sriranga was sitting here, and Kesha Bhardi Maharaj was sitting here, and then the one more devotee, then the scientist guy was here. And he said the same thing, they're talking, and then Sariputta just came in the room, he kind of looked, and he just immediately, you know, recognized the guy, and he recognized him like that. And there was no introduction, no nothing else, he just, you know, Sariputta came in and sat down, and the guy just started asking him questions like that, you know. And he was answering the questions like that, with different, like, you know, citations from different experiments like that, and very hard logical arguments and this and that. What about this and that? Without that, you know, so forth. So Bhakti Sriranga said it was the most intense discussion he ever heard in his whole life. Like that, I was like, you know, it was a broadband, 800 megabaud, you know, translation. So he said he was going to turn the tape recorder on, like this distance. So he reached to go to the tape recorder, and they both like turned towards him like this, you know, like about, you know. One 10,000th of their intelligence. And it was just like he pulled it back. They want to argue again like that. And he started to go again. And it was like, he said three times he tried to reach this far, get the tape recorder on. Every single time, he was both just kind of deviated a little bit like at him, you know, and just, it was I'm sorry. Yeah. And after about, he said it was about 20 minutes, 30 minutes of this. And finally, the guy was satisfied, you know, and his questions like that. I had the same experience with Sariputta. I was trying to understand something about space, you know, and for several months on phone calls like that, and I couldn't get the. Finally, I met him in Los Angeles, and we could talk personally. And at some point, he said, "Oh, that's what you want to know." Okay, you know, so Lokanath was there, you know, puppeteer. He's an intelligent guy, you know. So that I said, "Can you talk just a little bit slower?" You know, so he slowed down, and then I could actually realize what he was saying as he was saying it like that, you know. It was very interesting. It was about, you know, four-dimensional Norman Riemann spaces, you know, like that and stuff. And it was very nice. I was appreciating, you know, different perceptions of space, because space is the most subtle material element. So you understand that, you can pass very easily to the psychological elements, you know, make your smooth, you know, bridge. Like that. So, last purport here. Certainly that heart is steel frame, which in spite of chanting the holy name of the Lord, is not with concentration. Does not change, yeah? When ecstasy takes place and tears fill the eyes and hair stand on end. So it sounds like first off there's bodily reaction which is followed. There's ecstasy in the body and the senses from the holy names before there's ecstasy in the heart. We should note with profit, and I do, this is why I have my my outline. We should note with profit that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. Okay. In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God conscious by the process of hearing and chanting has been stressed, and a gross conception of the personality of Godhead in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. So that would seem to say our pantheistic meditation should be through folk songs, through poetry, through videos with music, through dance, right? That's how we should get our pantheism across. You know? What's John Denver's most famous song? You know what? Yeah? Sunshine. Yeah. Sunshine on the water, sunshine almost always gets me high. Very nice song. You listen, it's a devotee you can listen to. It's true. It's all these different sunshine. It's the incarnation of Krishna. You know, like that. Yeah. In the first chapter, yeah, okay. Yeah. And a gross conception of the personality of God in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. Okay. By such a gross conception of God, through the material manifestation of his energy, one is able to spiritualize the mind and the senses. One is able to spiritualize the mind and senses. How would you like it if Bill Gates moved here and joined your temple? Would you give him advice? Would you tell him what to do? A little bit. Technique. When he gave you advice about how to spread the movement in Boise, would you ignore it? Would you bow down and back? Tape recorded 5 times. Yeah. Yeah. When he got, again, one person just fired up, enthusiastic. He has that ability. But it may not be his karma, though. It may not be his karma to spread spiritual life, economics. Yeah. But the same way, you know, this gross conception. You realize the person behind the person behind the energy, that's the storehouse. And if we got the person, forget the company, right? So this is a gross conception of God through his energies, right? Hmm. Through his materially manifested energies, one is able to spiritualize the mind and senses and gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as the Super soul in the heart. First, your senses have to become accelerated, your mind, intelligence, and then you're free of this gross muck. You can start to see the super soul behind the senses. And everywhere, in every atom of the material universe, the system of Panchopashana recommending 5 mental attitudes for the common man is also enacted for this purpose, namely gradually developing worship of the superior in the form of fire, Agni, electricity, the sun, the mass of living beings. Who's a deity for that? Panchopashana. The mass of living beings. Panchopashana. Surya, Agni. Ganesh. Right? Ganapati. You know, master of the living entities. Shiva, and at last, the impersonal supersoul. The impersonal supersoul. The partial representation of Lord Vishnu. They are all nicely described in the second chapter. But in the third chapter, further development is described after one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship or pure devotional service. And the mature stage of Vishnu worship too is suggested herein in relationship to the change of heart. Pure devotional service, the change in heart. Paragraph. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of a living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, his eternal constitutional position. So with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by false sense of lording it over the world, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. There's one group called Weight Watchers Anonymous. You know? Yeah? And this is, you know, again, right? You know them? Right? Different people. This is some people like 400 pounds, 800 pounds. Really this very big bodies, you know, sometimes. And so sometimes it's not normal. Different people like mucks, you know, mucks, the mucks in Hawaii, they're all naturally obese. And I pick on you here. No. Some people, as our doctor is saying, some people are just obese. They're big. They're fat. You know, they live just as long as everybody else. Their health is just as long as everybody else. Other people are naturally skinny. You know, but some people, yes, there's a problem there. You know, it's just really wrong. Sometimes it becomes so much your heart will stop. You can't even sit lie down because there's so much pressure on the heart like that. So one common thing asking these people, why is it? Why you just can't stop eating and everything else? Because when the food's there, you can control it. It's like this thing that may get away from me. One of the most powerful mantras for these people is, you'll eat again. Like that. You know, very regular schedule, so your mind becomes convinced there'll be food in the future. Like that. And you'll eat again. You know, like that. And so, okay, then you get your natural thing like that. So this thing of lording it over material nature comes down to the level of what? Of lording it over? Gross matter, food, stimulus of this kind, that kind. Because here I can control it. But I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I may not be able to do it. Yeah? So that's the contamination of trying to dominate the material world. Huh. Exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment by a false sense of lording it over the material world. And an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. Okay, what does Krishna want? What can I cook for Krishna? Right? It's a big difference. You're cooking something for yourself. You think, well, what can I cook for Krishna? And you realize, this is not a very nice offering. You know, there's something lacking here. This is not, let me think. And you start thinking higher. You see that, huh? Something you try to cook for yourself. You try to cook for Krishna. You see this like, this is not very nice. You know? The next you offer something even more elevated, more nice, more in the mode of goodness. Yeah. Like that. And you're actually happier. Vidhi bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, eyes, ears, nose, hand, legs, already explained, is now stressed herein relation to the mind, which is the impetus of all activities of the limbs. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change of heart, the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. You must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional service. And if they are properly performed, they will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs in the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary stage of bhava. Preliminary symptoms of a bhava stage. Vibhava, anubhava, which occurs before one reaches the perfectional stage of prema. Right? So it's automatic. If you hear and chant about Krishna, these reactions will occur in your body. Right? And then they should start to penetrate into the heart. Right? Prabhupada says in Raganuga Bhakti, we have to learn the little art of crying for Krishna. It's in the nectar devotion. This is Raganuga. You actually, I should be crying now. You know, so let me try it. You know. But yeah, you're trying to feel the right thing. This is Raganuga Bhakti, part of Sadhana Bhakti. Yeah? So that, but you're hearing and chanting, but your heart's still not changing. What it means is steel frame. Yeah, okay. If the reaction does not play, even after continuous hearing and chanting, maybe consider due to offenses only. Conscious offensive activity. That is the opinion of the Sandarbha of Jiva Goswami. In the beginning of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if a devotee has not been very careful about evading the 10 kinds of offenses at the feet of the holy name, certainly the reaction of feelings of separation will not be visible by tears in the eyes and standing of the hair on end. The bhava stage is manifest by 8 transcendental symptoms, namely stuntedness, perspiration, standing of the hairs on end, failing in the voice, trembling, paleness of the body, tears in the eyes, and finally trance. Right? Yeah. The Nectar of Devotion, a summary study of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, explains those symptoms and vividly describes other transcendental developments both in steady and accelerated manifestations. Boy, oh boy. Steady is Stai Bhava? I don't know. And then Vyabhichari Bhava, and finally Stai Bhava. Yeah. Vibhava, Anubhava, Sattvika Bhava, Vyabhichari Bhava, and Stai Bhava. Yeah. Vishnu Chakrabarti has very carefully, critically discussed all these bhava displays in connection with some unscrupulous neophytes imitating the above symptoms for cheap adoration. Not only Vishnu Chakrabarti, but also Rupa Goswami treated them very critically. Sometimes all the above 8 symptoms of ecstasy are imitated by the mundane devotees, prakritya sahajiyas, but the pseudo symptoms are at once detected when one sees a pseudo devotee addicted to so many forbidden things. A person addicted to smoking, drinking, or illegitimate sex with women, even though decorated with the signs of a devotee, cannot have all the above mentioned ecstatic symptoms. But it is seen that sometimes they are willfully imitated, and for this reason, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti accuses the imitators of being stone-hearted men. They are even affected sometimes by the reflection of such transcendental symptoms. And yet, if they still do not give up the forbidden habits, then they are hopeless cases for transcendental realization. So we have to give them up. When Lord Chaitanya met Ramananda Roy and Kavaur, on the bank of the Godavari, the Lord developed all these symptoms. But because of the presence of some non-devotee Brahmins who were attendants of the Rai, the Lord suppressed the symptoms. Suppressed. These symptoms. So sometimes they are not visible, even in the body of a first-class devotee, for certain circumstantial reasons. Therefore, real steady bhava is definitely displayed in the matter of cessation of material desires, shanti, utilization of every moment in the transcendental service of the Lord, avyarta kalatvam, eagerness for glorifying the Lord constantly, attraction for living in the land of the Lord, complete detachment from material happiness, and pridelessness. One who has developed all these transcendental qualities is really possessed of the bhava stage, as distinguished from the stone-hearted imitators or mundane devotees. Is the word bhava up here? Maybe. Final paragraph. The whole process can be summarized as follows. The advanced devotee who chants the holy name of the Lord in a perfectly offenseless manner and is friendly to everyone can actually relish the transcendental taste of glorifying the Lord, And the result of such realization is reflected in cessation of material desires, etc., as I mentioned above. The neophytes, through their being in the lower stage of devotional service, are invariably envious. So much so they invent their own ways and means of devotional regulations without following the acharyas. As such, even if they make a show of constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, they cannot relish the transcendental taste of the holy name. Therefore, the show of tears, trembling, perspiration, unconsciousness are all condemned. They can, however, get into touch with the pure devotee of the Lord and rectify their bad habits. Otherwise, they shall continue to be stone-hearted and unfit for any treatment. A complete progressive march and return back home to Godhead will depend on the instructions of the revealed scriptures directed by a realized devotee. So, Prabhupada, so any questions or comments? Yes, sir, back there. Yes.
The super soul being
personal. Ah, because he's sat and chit and there's no Nanda. Yeah?
But the super soul is like size of Brahman and Vishnu.
Uh-huh. How big is Bankei Bihari? Huh? Is he a person?
Yeah.
Yeah? Why? What did he do? What was he doing during the RT? What was he doing today? Well, he was just standing there. But that's the sense. There's sat and chit in that stage. Vishuddha sattva. You can see Krishna face to face, like Durvasa Muni, face, and you can hear him, you can understand what he's saying, but there's no ananda. There's no sense of the importance of Lakshmi, the importance of Radharani, this feeling of wanting to serve like that. Yeah.
I thought the person was
only son. Huh? Yeah, usually, but Prabhupada, you know, again, Prabhupada uses these words. You know, Sridhana Maharaj said Prabhupada seldom acted like a lawyer. He generally speaking, yeah, it's still, like for example, Raghunath Das says that Vaidhi Bhakti is a cheating process. You know, for us, we're trying to do it. You know, but for him, his stage is so much lower. So still, yeah, the Paramatma is not personal. Personal means love. And without love, there's no personal relationship. That's the way, you know, probably using it here. No? Yeah. And it's, I would say also too, this is for the second canto. As you go on, I think probably we're going to find that Prabhupada tends to standardize his diction more and more. Like in the beginning, for example, did Prabhupada chant Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya Jaya? But in the beginning, or either way. Good. There you go. Yeah, okay. You took this one. Yeah. In the beginning, he was chanting, no? Govinda Jaya Jaya, Gopala Jaya. But he stopped that, right? He didn't forbid us to do it, but he stopped that and just focused on the Maha Mantra. You won't find later tapes of Prabhupada chanting that in the very beginning. Govinda Jaya Jaya. So he adjusted certain things. He refined like that. And so certain diction, like you're saying later on, I don't think you'll find Prabhupada saying the super soul is impersonal. Yeah. But it is. For example, yoga, dhyana is included in dhyana. There's karma, jnana, and bhakti sometimes. Where's the yoga? It's a part of dhyana. That's the introspective section, not just by the intellect, but also by the meditational function, also the analytic function, like that. Yeah, yeah. So it still is the personal, because this is a very, very important point. Because it's still the super. So you can see Krishna, Janardana, with four arms like that and a smiling face and everything else. And then Kapila gives more. He says, when you come to that point, maintain the meditation, maintain it. Fix your mind. See these things. See them. And at some point, something will happen. The Bhava, you know, the stimulus for Bhava, Krishna's smile, Krishna's flower garlands, Krishna's mercy will then react in an Anubhava. You'll feel, or a Satvika Bhava, you'll feel something. And that's the beginning of Ananda, is exchange of these Bhavas and become more intense. Right? Okay? Yeah. So you have to do that at least. Somehow or other, it can be very mechanical in some ways, fixing your mind on the holy names. But that's it. That's in this our stage. There's nothing wrong with that. Gopakumar is in Vaikuntha, and Vishnu sends Narada Muni to tell him, I'm so happy you're here, but you don't really belong here. You should go to Goloka. So Narada Muni tells him this, and he says, okay, now this is the way to Ayodhya. So why are you sending me to Ayodhya? He says, that's the shortest way to Goloka, shortest pathway. So you go through different levels like that. So our level is not wrong to be engaged in dhyana, mishra, bhakti yoga, using different techniques and so on to fix the mind, devotional techniques, right? Using all these things, the flower garlands, prasadam, and then what'll happen? Why? Because I want to, you know, really experience Krishna. I know when it happens, at some point there'll be some here. Then, yeah, have a very wet, very dry sponge. You put it in water and take it out. Still completely dry, right? But if you hold it there, what happens? At some point, some part of it just starts to, you can see, starts to become wet. Once that happens, then it's like it spreads very quickly. You know? Yeah. So some bhava experience, you know, with Krishna. Yeah. So, questions, comments? Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
We say that the Srimad Bhagavatam is Amalapala, like in Futabal Vedas. Then, why is it that still hear this description of demigod worship? They're saying, if you want this worship, this one, you want that worship. I mean, aren't the Vedas already full of that? What is the necessity of putting that in Srimad Bhagavatam?
Well, what I would understand is that Narada Muni is criticizing Vyasa. Having done this is why you're unhappy, because you talked all about these, you know, dharma, artha, kama, moksha, all these things. And Prabhupada says, yes, there's mention of worship of the Supreme Lord. Other Puranas even talk about Krishna. He said, but it's not emphasized. It's not obvious enough. If you read the Satyanarayan Puja, right? You go to the Satyanarayan Puja, then she did the Satyanarayan Puja and then gave the halava and these sweet rice for the Brahmins and these devotees, and she got jewels and gold, and her husband came back from a foreign country and stayed with her for a long time, and he became king and this and that. And it's very... Someone told me, I think it's in the Skanda Purana, when Brahman said, yeah, it's a Vajarshik Purana. Get this, get that. But the very, very end it says, and he then, the king, in his next lifetime, he became Dasarad. And she in her next lifetime became Vedavati. So then you can see that, oh yeah, the whole purpose of this thing is actually to become an associate of Krishna. It's not to get something for yourself, right? But it's not emphasized. The Book of Mormon, if you know it, you talk to the Mormons, all these guys, right? If you know their scripture, I've done this. And when it was Salt Lake City one time with Cheru, in their farm there, their place, all these Mormons come. And we were talking to one girl, and as soon as you start talking to them, five more will come around. It's a very great place for preaching, but it's a different level of preaching. Because they're very moral, ethical people in many ways like that. And so I was talking about the different levels, and she was saying, you know, she was a leader of like one of their groups or units. She's saying, yes, we do the same thing. God's a person. Yes, yes, yes. Yes. Polygamy. And it was going higher and higher into the end of the program. And more people started gathering around. Until finally, it was about 25, 30 people were all gathered around. We were talking about this. And it was going higher and higher. And I was talking then about, you know, these stages of intense emotional ecstasy and stuff is the higher goal. And she said, that's not possible in a material body. And one of her members, a boy, said, Amos 4:33. And she goes, wow, yeah. It's like that, you know? Yeah, the descriptions in the Book of Mormon about this, you know, there's ecstasies and these things like that and stuff. But it's not emphasized. Jayananda was saying, he said, yeah, you can tell just a bunch of God-conscious kshatriyas. Because all their paintings and stuff, the priests have these gigantic muscles, right? Now the girls have... You know, very, you know, their hair is exposed, and they're nice, you know, looking very, like, passionate, honorable, dignified lady, but very, you know, beautiful, and so on, like that, and fighting, and this and that, you know? Yeah. So it's a Vajarshik Purana, and for them, they're in a position where, you know, if you can quote from the scriptures and stuff like that, and you'll appreciate it. So it's all there. That's why I think it seems to be like a bona fide, you know, something which is actually coming from God. It's not, you know, something invented by the Freemasons, which other people say. It was a Freemason conspiracy. The Masonics created this as a conspiracy. Because it's too much, you know. The devotee details is there. And I was, you know, so learn these things. You can deal with them. These two girls were coming. My karate instructor was a Mormon. You know? And so he had these girls coming. They have a whole thing. They come to our house. They were preaching to us and my wife and us, you know. And different levels, you know. They show you a movie. At one point, there's a thing called baptismal challenge. You know, that's what it's called like that. They'll tell you that. And at that point, they ask if you want to become baptized as a Mormon. If you say no at that point, then they say, well, thank you very much. Hope we meet you in the future. And they go on like that. You know? It's very systematic. You know? So I was describing Krishna consciousness to them, and they were appreciating, wow. And I was quoting for the Book of Mormon and stuff. And in the end, they were saying, it seems like you're on the right path. You know. And later on, if you have some interest in the Church of Jesus Christ and so on, then I think it will be very nice. You know. But if, like, we can't really say you should give us up, because it seems to be, you know. You know, you're doing the right thing. You know? So then, So it's, again, it's like Hare Krishna's and the Mormon, like that, you know, stand together. Again, the abortion clinic doorway, Hare Krishna's and the Mormon, like that. Yeah?
Yeah. The Mormons don't have one person, God, in some ways.
God's a person. Yeah, with the guy. Joseph Smith saw him. Yep. And Joseph was God, and it was Jesus. And God said, "This is my beloved Son upon whom I am well pleased." And he had a beard. He was a white guy. Yeah. Get that. You know. So on and on, you know. No, but again, there's all these different details of different cultures and stuff. But, you know, he was a Northern European white guy with a beard like that and stuff, you know.
That was God.
Yeah, it was God. And Son Jesus Christ, too, you know, so on, you know. But again, it's like, again, time, place, circumstance, everything else like that, you know. The ecstasy. But, you know, definitely he was a person, you know. But in mode of passion, right? I've heard Prabhupada said they're worshipping Lord Brahma. So apparently, if you add, one of the big problems, criticisms they get is that your church says you can become God, like that, you know. So they say, oh, no. But if you ask a Mormon, can you become God? They'll say, yeah. You know, like that. But if you actually read the exact text, it says, by sufficient pious activities, you can become as God and have your own universe. So very, you know, it seems like it's these subtle details. There's so many subtle details that it seems it's really impossible for somebody to have invented this. You know, it's very fine details. And a lot of pitri worship, you know, it's your main goal. Yeah. But, you know, if you really want the higher thing, then within it you find, you know, bhava, prema, same thing. So a lot of work to be done. I mean, you write a good concordance between our philosophy and the Book of Mormon and everything else, and it's going to be like this, you know, flow then. More people can understand, appreciate. Yeah. Yeah. So any other comments or questions? Yep. One. For 7 days or seven nights.
In the Bible also, one time Prabhupada said that in the Bible it says that man is the image of God.
Yeah. No, everywhere. Yeah, again, you know, there are very, very Rajarshik Puranas and scriptures, how kind of very weird, strange things in them. In the Bible, and those things are like, you know, people for a certain time, a certain place, you know, so people could appreciate what's going on, you know. When a police officer comes or something, like puts a gun in your face, it's like, this is God, like that. You know, oh, you know, God wants me to kill all these people and do this and that. Look, buddy, I'm God. He goes, okay. You know. And at that point, it's true. I mean, somebody's empowered authority to come down to your level, you know, and communicate to you. But it doesn't mean that all there is. You know, Tamasic Puranas are very gross, you know, like that. And describing the goddess of fortune in a very lascivious fashion, like that. Why? Because a person, you know, get out of ignorance and start getting into the mode of passion. You know? Yeah. So, your program. We're having a course we're organized, trying to organize. God only knows. This program and, you know, actually the notes you're using are the notes we use for our the same course last year, you know, three times now. Once in Spanish, you know, start in Janmashtami, go for 30 weeks, finish off in Gaur Purnima. And then one time in English last time with a Yahoo group, with Vaisheshika helping us, and some people surviving. And we had a lot of basic realizations, you know. One is it should be semi-presencial. You should come. People should meet every now and again in local groups. Just by internet alone, you just lose your impetus. And also, if you pay for the damn thing, then you know, it's like, I paid $250 for this course. I better, you know, stick with it, you know. And some commitment. So now with San Marcos, too, it's going to be an accredited course, you know, university accreditation. And then, who knows, we're trying to get it together off to then other places. I mean, actually, you know, again, who knows? You can get it accredited with the theater department, even. That's the whole thing. It's so flexible. You could just take it as a study of classical literature, and from the point of poetry and drama. Yeah? And then just look at it that way. Even try and, you know, organize a drama, you know. We're talking about this Shakuntala. The whole story is in the Bhagavatam, in a summary like that. And they're going to focus on Shakuntala next year, you know, the drama department there. So, start, whatever, just... I mean, I'm sure they would like to expand it into a nice festival to get more people to come. I'm sure they would like the whole Indian community to come and see the drama. Usually what it is the drama department will put on like maybe five plays. They pick them out. And because one lady wants to do her PhD or MA on Shakuntala, then they're going to do that. And then, of course, they'll all take the parts and act it and everything else and so on. So then if community gets into that, and stuff, and relates it to the Bhagavatam and pure thing, even like, for example, somebody can write a paper, criticizing Kalidasa's, doing a criticism of Kalidasa's drama from the point of view of Rupa Goswami's Rasa Shastras. Here is an improper mixing of Virya and Madhurya at this point. even just more simple things like that. You start writing things like that or doing things like that. Where's Lakshmi? Lakshmi can, she's doing her English thing. But once you, preaching means, listening. It doesn't mean talking so much. 90% listening. What are they doing? What's their interest? What's their concern? That's very natural. And we can do Shakuntala like this and that and have a whole cycle of series of dramas and plays, and they're happy and more people coming to their play and, become famous. The Boise Center for the Performing Arts, the Boise Vedic Center for Performing Arts, Kala Sangha, Monkey Bihari Kala Sangha. So Prabhupada ki, Prabhupada ma mantra ki, ma prasadam ki, Gaura Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.